Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's the boss with the beat supplied, as always, by Max Weinberg. Max, when you hear these hits, do you ever critique your drumming?
Well, I sure do hear that, and it brings back a lot of great memories. Good to be with you this morning, Bob. And, when I hear that, I think of my hands and the pain in concert of hitting that snare drum. No, I'm only actually kidding. It's a pleasure to play that song. It's a tough one to play first out of the gate, though, I can tell you that.
Let me tell you, this show you're going to be doing at Ravinia Sunday night, this is really a different kind of concert. Max Weinberg's Jukebox. When we're on a trip with the family, if we're all together in the car with the kids, we play Jukebox, where everybody in turn gets to pick a song, and then we play it. And that's kind of what you're going to be doing with this show, isn't it, with the audience?
Well, you would love this show then. Yeah, Max Weinberg's Jukebox. It's really not a concert, it's a party, because the audience picks the set list in real time. And typically we have a video scroll of about 300 songs, 50s, 60s, 70s, a nice smattering of Beatles, Stones, Kinks, Bruce, Hollies, Beach Boys, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, the soundtrack of the last 45 or 50 years. And people just call them out, although lately we've been using a new protocol of writing them out on index cards, and people say where they're from, why they want to hear the song. So when I get up there at night with my four-piece band, I don't know what I'm going to play. I know it'll probably be off the video screens, but occasionally someone will pick something that isn't on the screen. And the thing with being a Jersey musician and coming up through the bars and the joints along the Jersey Shore is you really need to know how to fake it. So if one person knows it, we can get through and we'll give it a shot. And we've done about 250 shows since the first one we did was actually in Evanston, Illinois.
Oh, at Space, right?
It was at Space. That's right. And we had a set, a planned out set. And then we played all this. It was about 2 hours. We played all the songs we knew. And people wanted us to play some more. So I looked down and I said, well, what do you want to hear? I'll play I've Just Seen a Face by the Beatles. All right, a couple of guys knew the song. That's how it started. So the genesis of this is an Illinois thing, and I'm delighted to be and quite honored to be asked to play at Ravinia, which is one of the classic venues in the country for sure. So that's a big deal for me. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice summery night, Sunday night, too. You mentioned the Beatles, and I've always wanted to ask you this. Do you think Ringo is underappreciated as a drummer?
No, I don't. Actually, everything that rock drummers play today it derives from Ringo, not the least of which is, drummers need fantastic songwriters. I've been fortunate in that respect to have such a great platform as the songs of Bruce Springsteen to play drums on. Ringo did for rock drummers in the 60s what Gene Krupa, the famous jazz drummer, did for drummers in the 30s. He made the drummer, in a way, a high-priced guy, and I don't mean necessarily financially, but he drew an audience to the drums. Ringo is certainly, I think, the transition from jazz and pop in the 60s, and then Ringo came on the scene, and it seems simple. Well, it seems simple, but it's not easy, and I can vouch for that. Ringo was a groundbreaking drummer and the perfect drummer for the Beatles. Not only was he a great drummer, and in fact, I feel like I'm not defending Ringo. He doesn't need me to defend him. He was, at the time, the best drummer in Northern England, and it was quite a coup for George, Paul, and John to get Ringo to play with them. He was much more successful than them. And he was not only a great drummer, he was a great Beatle. And that wasn't the easiest thing in the world to be at that time. So, yeah, you know, everything, we played a song, for example, Girls in Their Summer Clothes. That's me being Ringo right there.
Nice. Your requests on demand at Ravinia Sunday night, Max Weinberg's Jukebox coming to town. Max, do you get a joker every once in a while in the audience yelling out, "Free Bird, Free Bird"?
Oh, yeah, we play it.
All right.
Somebody calls out Free Bird, we'll play that song. Actually, Free Bird was the last song that I played on the Conan O'Brien Tonight Show when we went off the air. That was the last song we played, and we had Will Ferrell reprising his cowbell part from Saturday Night Live. And that was quite funny. But, yeah, it's an all-audience request night. So you never know what they're going to really pick out. We aim to please, and it's fun. And I tell stories also during the show. A song will remind me of something. A Beatles song could remind me of, for, you know, just off the top of my head, playing with Paul McCartney at Hyde Park in London in 2012, which was a thrill. And I enjoy that part of it because it's a little bit of narrative and a lot of music.
Max, did you know Charlie Watts?
I did. Charlie was a good friend. It's a terrible, terrible loss. Unfathomable, really. You know, it was. I knew he was in somewhat ill health, and you know, had a successful operation. Was recovering, apparently, with terrible shock. And sir, I saw the Stones November 7th, 1965 in Newark, New Jersey, and Get Off My Cloud was climbing the charts at the time, and I was in the second row. It was at a place called the Mosque Theater, which is still there. It's called Symphony Hall now, and what an impact. And they were not that big at the time. You know, the Beatles sort of sucked all the oxygen out of the rock world, and it was so exciting, and Charlie was just one of a kind, a true gentleman. Saw him play many, many times with various jazz groups, and of course the Rolling Stones, and just in my world, a true mensch.
Yeah, and I'm sure there will be some Stones requests Sunday night at Ravinia. Max, your original hookup with Springsteen was after an audition, right? You auditioned for the band? Is that how it happened?
Yeah, I and about 65 other drummers in the summer of 1974. It was an open audition in a now-defunct newspaper from New York City called The Village Voice. And they had a great section of want ads for musicians, and there it was right there. Wanted drummer, no junior Ginger Bakers, which was kind of a snarky way of saying, if you want to play a solo, don't apply for this gig. And at the bottom, it said Bruce Springsteen in the E Street Band, and I didn't know Bruce Springsteen in the E Street Band, but below that it had Columbia Records. So he was doing a lot better than I was. He had a record deal, and there are more details, but suffice it to say, I went down, and it was, on my part anyway, it was love at first sight. And, you know, you can tell within a few seconds if you're clicking musically with someone, and it was quite amazing. The hardest thing in any band is to get everybody pushing in the same direction, and I could tell immediately. A, Bruce was an extremely commanding front man, although he was facing me in this very, very small studio. But what was also very impressive was the way Clarence Clemons, Gary Talent, and Danny Federici, who were there on my first audition, how they were keying in on what he was doing. I'd never experienced that. And at that point, I'd been playing for 16 years. All different kinds of combinations of bands. I was a real jobbing drummer, as they used to say. And it was magic. And that was, 74, so we're coming on 48 years. And we played 3 hours that first night. And that was, I still remember it. I mean, it was on 54th Street in New York City. And I didn't know I wasn't in the band at that point. That was on a Monday night, and I was playing in a Broadway show called Godspell, going to college during the day, still living with my parents, playing in club date bands. So I was kind of busy. And then I got a call back for the following Tuesday. And the first one went great because I didn't know, you know, who he was really. And I didn't know great. Now that whole week, boy, I really wanted this gig. And I went back the Tuesday and I really thought I messed up. I just, you know, couldn't play at all. But I got a call on Wednesday to, you know, come join the E Street Band. Took a huge pay cut from the Godspell Broadway show, dropped out of college, although I went back in 1989 to finish and get my degree, and moved down to the Jersey Shore. We rehearsed for 10 days, and we were on the road. And 47 years later, never really looked back.
Well, you've got your law school degree to fall back on in case this doesn't work out.
Well, actually, I'm a law school dropout.
Oh, well, is that right?
I went to law school for about a month, and I got a call from Dave Edmonds, a great English guitar player, singer, songwriter, who said, "You want to go to Japan with me and put a band together?" And I said, "You know, I'm in a property law class, and that sounds like a really good offer." So I withdrew. So there's some lawyer who graduated from Cardozo School of Law in New York City who got in because I left. yeah. But I actually did learn stuff in that first month.
Max Weinberg's Jukebox, Ravinia, Sunday night, 7:30. I'll be there. Can't wait to hear all the requests. And it's going to be a fun night for sure. Great talking to you, Max. Thanks for the time this morning.
Bob's always a pleasure. And yeah, come on out. I mean, it'll be a beautiful night. You know, I'm in Florida now, so coming up to Chicago, no matter what the heat is a relief for me. So I'm looking forward to a lot of people enjoying a beautiful summer night with the Jukebox. Come and pick your songs.
71 degrees for the show, and we can't wait. Take care, Max. Stay healthy.
Yes, you too. Thanks a lot. Bye.